Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Something Lost, Something Gained: Reflections on Life, Love, and Liberty is a 224 nonfiction memoir, an essay collection by Hillary Rodham Clinton, published by Simon & Schuster. Written after decades in public life as First Lady, U.S. Senator, Secretary of State, presidential nominee, author, and advocate, the book reflects on a later chapter of Clinton's life rather than retelling her career in a strictly chronological way. Its central purpose is to connect personal experience with civic concern, aging, marriage, friendship, family, resilience, political conflict, democratic responsibility, and the future facing younger generations. The book belongs to the category of political memoir, but it is also a reflective life book shaped by public service. Its tone is described as candid, conversational, humorous, and engaged, with Clinton using personal perspective to examine how private losses, public defeats, and continuing commitments can coexist with purpose, curiosity, and civic participation. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, a late career memoir centered on reflection rather than campaign reconstruction. The book is distinctive because it is not primarily another account of the 2016 presidential election or a procedural memoir of office. Clinton has already written extensively about campaigns, policy work, and political defeat, most notably in earlier books. Something Lost, Something Gained shifts the frame toward what remains after highly visible success and failure: judgment, memory, relationships, and responsibility. This gives the book a different function from a campaign postmortem. It asks how a person whose life has been intensely public interprets time, disappointment, and continuing influence when the central ambition of elected power has passed. The title itself signals balance rather than triumphalism. Loss is not denied, but neither is it treated as the final meaning of experience. The gain comes through perspective, continued engagement, and a broadened sense of usefulness. This reflective structure allows Clinton to address politics without making every chapter dependent on electoral chronology. It also makes the book accessible to readers who may be less interested in tactical political history than in how a major public figure processes change, scrutiny, aging, and ongoing obligation. Secondly, aging with purpose as a practical response to change and limitation, a major theme of the book is aging. But Clinton treats it less as decline than as a change in vantage point. The public descriptions of the book emphasize grace, grit, joy, purpose, humor, and the need to keep moving forward. This framing matters because it resists two common extremes in memoirs by public figures: nostalgia for past authority and denial of vulnerability. Clinton presents later life as a period in which losses are real, including changes in energy, social roles, and cultural relevance. But those losses can coexist with meaningful work. The practical reasoning behind this theme is that purpose must be renewed rather than simply inherited from earlier achievements. A person cannot rely indefinitely on old titles, old victories, or old plans. Instead, the book points toward curiosity, public engagement, family connection, and humor as ways of adapting to the passage of time. This is not a self-help formula so much as a civic and personal ethic. Aging becomes a test of whether experience can be converted into perspective rather than bitterness. Thirdly, marriage, family, and friendship as sources of continuity under public pressure. The book's subtitle includes love, and the available descriptions make clear that Clinton discusses friendship, aging, marriage, children, and grandchildren alongside politics. This combination is important because Clinton's public identity has often been interpreted through institutional roles: First Lady, Senator, Secretary, Nominee. By emphasizing intimate relationships, the book presents a broader account of what sustains a life exposed to judgment and conflict. Marriage, in this context, is not only a private arrangement, but also a long relationship lived under unusual scrutiny. Family and friendship function as stabilizing forces, but not as sentimental escape from public life. They provide continuity when political roles change and when public approval rises or falls. The inclusion of grandchildren also shifts the time horizon of the book. Clinton's reflections on the future are not abstract. They are connected to what kind of country and culture will be inherited by younger generations. This gives the personal material civic weight. Love is treated as a form of attachment that strengthens endurance, clarifies priorities, and makes political stakes feel immediate rather than theoretical. Fourthly, democracy, elections, and institutional competence as continuing civic obligations. Clinton's reflections on liberty are closely tied to her long-standing concern with democratic institutions. Public descriptions of the book and its related tour emphasize forthright views on politics, democracy, the threats facing society, and the future within reach. The book, therefore, occupies a space between memoir and civic argument. Clinton writes from the perspective of someone who has participated in government at unusually high levels and who views elections as tests of values, competence, and institutional respect. Her emphasis is not simply partisan preference, although her political commitments are clear. The deeper argument is that democratic life depends on citizens taking institutions seriously, recognizing threats before they become normalized, and judging leaders by more than performance, spectacle, or grievance. This theme reflects the post-2016 and post-January 6 political environment in which questions of democratic norms, truth, rule of law, and peaceful transfer of power remain central. The book's political sections are therefore meant to connect personal memory with public warning. Liberty is presented not as an inherited guarantee, but as a practice requiring attention, standards, and participation. Lastly, a conversational public voice that blends candor, humor, and political seriousness. The book's reception and publisher descriptions repeatedly stress its conversational quality, suggesting the experience of hearing Clinton speak with candor, humor, self-awareness, and directness. This matters because tone is central to how the book positions itself. Clinton is one of the most polarizing figures in recent American politics, and a stiff institutional voice would likely reinforce familiar impressions. A more conversational approach allows the book to combine personal reflection and political judgment without reading like a policy paper or official record. Humor and self-deprecation also serve a structural purpose. They soften the distance between author and reader while acknowledging the oddness of a life lived under extraordinary scrutiny. At the same time, the tone does not remove the seriousness of the political argument. The book is not merely a collection of personal anecdotes. It uses personal experience to support claims about democracy, resilience, public service, and responsibility. Its limitation is also tied to this voice. Readers already hostile to Clinton may interpret candor through partisan assumptions, while sympathetic readers may be more receptive. The style aims to reach beyond both groups, but it cannot escape the political context surrounding the author. In conclusion, Something Lost, Something Gained is best suited for readers interested in political memoirs that move beyond the mechanics of campaigns and office holding. And it will appeal to readers who follow American democracy, women in public life, aging and identity, long marriages under pressure, and the personal costs of political participation. Its practical benefit lies in showing how a highly scrutinized public figure thinks about resilience after loss, usefulness after formal power, and engagement after disappointment. Its intellectual benefit is the way it links private experience to civic responsibility, treating democracy not as a distant system, but as something shaped by judgment, memory, relationships, and generational obligation. Compared with many political memoirs, the book stands out because it is less focused on vindication or chronological record, and more focused on late life interpretation. It is not detached analysis, and readers should expect Clinton's established political perspective to shape the work. However, that perspective is also what gives the book its specificity. Few authors can write from the combined vantage point of spouse of a president, former senator, former secretary of state, presidential nominee, grandmother, and long-term target of public controversy. The result is a reflective memoir that uses one life to examine how personal endurance and democratic engagement remain connected. If you would like to support Hillary Rodham Clinton, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.